mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time of Advent and the time to break and to rest and reflect on what is truly important and what this time is all about. We pray for you by your Holy Spirit to give us peace and clarity of mind that we might be fed with your words tonight and draw strength from you, the fount of every blessing and author of life. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. May be seated. You have my word. I will not go longer than 30 minutes. You ever had that expression? Oh, you're tired now? Okay. You ever heard this expression, you have my word?
Oh, yeah.
You've used it before, right? I know I've used it before.
You did.
I did. That's right. I covered myself. But it's easy to become skeptical when you hear that, right? Maybe what's your first reaction when you hear somebody say that? Are you thinking, oh, good. They told me that I have that word. Or do you think, Yeah, all right. Pretty clear, right? When you think about how much we like the guarantee, the lifetime guarantee, or the lifetime warranty, or the, whatever it is, refund your money if anything goes wrong, right? Because what we're afraid of is that the manufacturers are going to go back on their words that what they're giving to us is actually worthwhile. It's going to last, right? I just had my car repaired, and I had the word, the mechanic, that they would do an excellent job. And they did, although I did notice there were some scratches on my hood that I hadn't seen before. I brought it in there. Even when we want to be intentional and good with keeping our word, sometimes we still fail, don't we? And it's really hard to find people that we can actually trust when they'll say, you have my word. Sometimes you can see it with really a lot of fanfare too, like, oh, I'll always love you, or to death do us part, or you're my BFF. Do you guys still use that? Is that still going on in school?
Yes.
No, it's not just me. Good, I feel it. Well, the BFF means best friend for life, right? BFFL. You can count on me. But of course, this Advent, that's what Jesus promises. You have my word. You have my word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's clear that, especially in John's Gospel, the first 18 verses are about the Word, about God's Word. God's Word in Jesus Christ that now belongs to us. You can kind of summarize the first 18 verses of a be going through and add that, first of all, that Jesus is the Word. You see that in the first few verses. In other words, God makes himself audible. He makes it so that we can hear him. He's not just drawing pictures for us. He speaks to us, right? He's audible. Secondly, Jesus is life. In him was life. That life was the light of men. He makes himself tangible. Something that you can touch and and see concretely, not just an abstract idea. He makes himself visible. He's the light of all people. He's audible, he's tangible, he's visible, and most importantly, he makes himself knowable. He makes himself reachable. In Jesus, verse 18 of John chapter 1 says, the only God who is at the Father's side, which is Jesus, has made him known. It's through Jesus that we are able to know who God is. That's how God reveals himself to us. Tonight we're going to focus on how Jesus is the Word and he's audible. And how that Word, first of all, is connected to creation. That's why we had our reading from Genesis chapter 1. You can see similarities, right? In the beginning. And in the beginning, start the same way, right? Chapter 1 of John and chapter 1 of Genesis. It's not a coincidence. John was trying to make it sound like the creation account, right, when he wrote this. There's mentions of light, mentions of life. The power of the Word. We can look at other verses that talk about the power of God's Word. Joshua 21 says, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made has failed. Isaiah 40 verse 8, which is this Sunday, we'll hear, says, grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 55, 11, my word will not return to me empty. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And all of it is trying to tell us that the most powerful force in the universe is the one that we have, the Word of God. This is the most powerful force in the universe. Creates something where there is nothing. Brings to life where there's death. Brings hope to where there's despair. Brings comfort to where there's affliction. Brings transformation where there is hearts of stone. It was God's word that called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, a foreign land. It's God's word that spoke to Moses from a burning bush, that provided manna and quail in the desert, that thundered from Sinai, spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. And yes, even brought an army of bones to life, as we read about in Ezekiel 37. What faith does is it believes that God gives his word to us. He gives his word to us in Jesus. And that's the next point, is that the word is connected to God. It's connected to creation, but it's also connected to God. It says in verse 1, the word was with God. It wasn't just an utterance. This is actually God himself. Jesus isn't a junior partner, or simply a right-hand person, number two. He's 100% actually God. I love Hebrews says he's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And the Gospel of John reminded of seven different I am statements too, right, that say, Jesus says, I am. What is he doing? He's harkening back to where Moses was at the burning bush and wondering, who am I going to say sent me when I go to Pharaoh, right? What does God tell him? Tell them, I am who sent you. That was God's divine name, still is. So Jesus is making these I am statements to remove all doubt about who he is and what he came to do. That He is the Word is God. The Word's connected to creation, it's connected to God, and most importantly, it's connected to us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 4. How does God connect us? He does it through light. Remember, as a young teenager, what I was most excited about, one of my favorite gifts was the new Indigo watch, right? What's so great about this watch is that it would glow in the dark. So that when you're in the dark, you have this cool, bright light. I just wanted to show it off. You know what I didn't feel as afraid about being in the dark? Because I had my Indigo watch. One of the things I liked most about my alarm clock is that it had a glow-in-the-dark time. Sometimes at night it can get really dark. When you're alone in your room, it can get kind of scary, especially when you're young, right? And if you have a nightmare, what comfort it can bring to know that there's a light in your dark room. When you're in the dark, your best friend is light. We know about the darkness, don't we? We know about the loneliness and the depression and the shame and the guilt and the addictions and the drunkenness and emptiness, busyness, the restlessness. And as if the darkness wasn't enough, then the Prince of Darkness, Satan, comes in and accuses us how messed up we are. Must not even have real faith. There's no hope for us. But Jesus tells us that when you're in the dark, you're not alone. You have the light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it. Can also be translated overcome. The darkness has not overcome it. It's a present tense, shines. It's a present reality. In the darkness of the people 2,000 years ago, in the darkness of our lives right now, Jesus continues to shine through his powerful word, connecting us back to him. Darkest hours of our life, this light shines. The darkness cannot overcome. We see it in Jesus' own death of darkness, 3 hours of darkness over the whole land when he was on the cross. Dying, bleeding, suffering, crying. And yet the light shines. His death, resurrection, joyous light in Easter morning. Not even the darkest darkness can overcome Jesus. Not even the darkest darkness can overcome us, connected to the light. It's because we have the Word of God. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." In the midst of the busyness and whatever is going on, whose word will you cling to this season? Will it be your own word? Will it be the word of a friend? Will it be the word of the culture? Will it be the word of God? most powerful force in the universe that endures forever. It is actually so powerful it is a person. A Lord, a Savior, Jesus Christ. So when your fear comes, say not what your fear says, but what God says. When your doubts come, don't listen to what your doubts say, listen to what God would say. When guilt comes, tell yourself what God says. And look through God's word like we're searching for treasure. When we find it, words that speak directly to us, we cherish it in our hearts, and we hide it there. It's the most valuable treasure that we could ever have. Because it's this word alone that can give us life, sustain us in this dark world, and keep us shining so that other people can see the word in us. Flown a lot of times, but one time I was had my first serious turbulence. It was pretty rough. I don't really like turbulence in the first place. But it was even worse because it was dark. Pilot had warned us that there might be turbulence, and then we had the turbulence. We were in the turbulence. Said, "Oh, don't worry, we're just having some slight turbulence. We'll be over with shortly." Right? All of a sudden the plane is like going like that. Yeah. But you know what? I'm guessing that probably wasn't the first time he had experienced turbulence. And I'm pretty sure that pilot knew what he was doing and wasn't really scared about the turbulence. It would have been a lot better for me if I had just stopped paying attention to my feelings and what was happening, but instead listened to the word of the pilot, which was trustworthy. And if we can be so quick to trust a human word, how much more then do we trust the word of God that comes to us in the midst of our turbulence and our storms and our darkness? God is there. He's in control. Shining in the darkness. He says, "I got this. It's okay. I'm leading you home. I know the way. It's with me." That's what he gives to us. He gives us his word. It's connected to creation, it's connected to God, it's connected to us. So we can take a deep breath and slow down and just listen to God tell us, "It's okay. You have my word. You have life with me." And you know his name. It's Jesus. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord.